So I'm going to start off reading from John 15, verse 1 to 16. And bear with me, I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible, but it just explains things to me a little bit better. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing, he cuts away, trims off, and takes away, and he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit, to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. You are cleansed and pruned already because of the word which I have given you, the teachings I have discussed with you. Dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. Live in me, and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in and being vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. If a person does not dwell in me, he is thrown out like a broken-off branch and withers. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire, and they are burned. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. When you bear or produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine. I have loved you, just as the Father has loved me. Abide in my love. Continue in his love with me. If you keep my commandments, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love and live on in it, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and live on in his love. I have told you these things, that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy and gladness may be of full measure and complete and overflowing. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. No one has greater love, no one has shown stronger affection than to lay down and give up his own life for his friends. You are my friends if you keep on doing the things which I command you to do. I do not call you servants or slaves anymore, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you my friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. I have revealed to you everything that I have learned from him. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I have appointed you, I have planted you, that you might go and bear fruit and keep on bearing, and that your fruit may be lasting, that it may remain and abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Anything there? Okay, there we are. Yeah, I don't see it here. Though. Okay, there we are. It doesn't come on the screen on here in front of me.
Yeah, it lost its signal there, so that's, I got it back here if you want me to
go. Okay, just go back. Yeah, okay, there you are. So I'll just have to look at it while I'm talking. You can see there that there is five levels of fruitfulness. No fruit, fruit, more fruit, much fruit, and fruit that will abide and that will last. So that is one of the reasons why we as individuals and as a church has to be part of a process where we can be strengthened. And like this morning we were talking about when the oil is low in your lantern or your oil lamp, to be filled up so that that wick, that smoking, that it can be burning again to show the light. Okay, next one. So the way we produce most effectively, we can only accomplish this by witnessing. And that is one of the ways that Evangelism Explosion does that. It wants to equip each and every one of us, because we will touch people's lives. Each and every one of us has got an effect on people, maybe good, maybe bad. And with that, you have an influence. So we want to, each and every one of us wants to be equipped. Next. So this is just a few of the experiences that people had, a life-changing experience, one of the most exciting weeks of my life. I'll never be the same. And that's when people that have gone through this training afterwards feel. So if we look at the EE's mission statement, it is to glorify God by equipping believers to multiply in and through churches worldwide for friendship, evangelism, discipleship, and healthy growth. Good, we'll go then. Equipping believers. So how does that happen? So EE trained people. So I went to Toronto to go through a training clinic. And so the idea is that you have trainers and you have two trainees. So that's why when we started out, we had me and two other, a pastor and his wife from Edmonton. So two, we were three trainers. And then we had each had two trainees. So that's why we only started with six people. But now the good thing is we have now trained six people, so they can have two trainees. And that's the multiplication process that's going to happen. And we'll talk about that. The way that we do it is with at the local church and on-the-job training. So on-the-job training means that you're learning the theory here, and then you'll go out and we'll apply it in practice visiting people. Okay? So it works primarily with local churches, equips pastors or lay people who in turn will mobilize and equip members of the congregation to share the gospel. EE is the first Christian ministry to be planted in every nation of the world, and it seeks to equip believers to witness as a way of life to people in the network of their friends, relatives, work associates, and neighbors. So, and that is the crux of the matter. We don't want to equip you guys to go out on the corners and go out into Africa. We want you to have your effect locally, and that is the crux of this matter, that we all have influences, and we'll see later the spread of the influence each one has. It equips believers to lead naturally and inoffensively into the evangelism, into the gospel. So it's not like throwing the Bible at people. You start building relationships first. So it's never going to try and force people to take it. We're just sharing the good news. And the process that you learn is to do it without any offense and very naturally. So it is primarily a discipleship training ministry, where we disciple Christians in the most basic of Christian duties, which is witnessing. So churches that have properly applied EE's equipping ministry have experienced spiritual, numerical, and organizational growth. And in the end, the numbers are not the most important thing. The most important thing is to equip each other with the spiritual strength, and that automatically changes into more people being influenced and more people coming to the church. So that's the circles that we all have around us. So you have the friends, closest relatives. Sometimes the friends are closer than the relatives. You have associates and acquaintances. You have neighbors and strangers. And that is important to know, that sometimes you don't have to go out a long ways to have that influence. And that is where we have to start closest to us. One interesting quote is, "The longer you are a Christian, the fewer opportunities you will have to be involved with unbelievers." We tend to come here and which is good, we have friends here and it becomes a family of God and we just share with each other, but you tend to slowly just stay in one circle. And we've experienced it when with our kids, we were involved in the community a lot with the sport. Now that they're not there, we are really struggling to get out into the community. You have to know that is something that is going to be a challenge, because we don't really visit all the bars and all the other places that often. Okay. So, how to be enlisted? What do you have to be? You have to be faithful, you have to be available, and you have to be teachable. So there's no special requirements, and I think that is the most important requirements, to be available and to be faithful and to be teachable. So if you look at evangelism, it's important to know that the focus is not on you and this person. The focus is on three-way conversation. The Holy Spirit is always involved. So that's why you can never say, "I let that person." You can say, "I was part of bringing that person to God." But you can never say, "I led that person to God." And that's where pride can come in. And a lot of times we can hear that people forget about how evangelism works. It's the Holy Spirit first and foremost. And you are the instrument going to to be used by him. Okay, next. So, you're already thinking, what's my excuse for not signing up? Because there's a sign up after this. So the excuses that Christians have for not sharing their faith is, it's the pastor's job. It's not my job. He was trained for that. That's his job, to fill this church and to share the gospel. Some will say, it's not my gift. And it's true. Everybody has gifts. Some are more able to talk. But like we say, evangelism is not going to stand here and talk to people. The evangelism focus is sharing with people the good news. You don't have to be able to talk. You just have to be yourself and share what you know. Some say, "I witness by my life." And that is true. But your life is going to pull people towards you, but then, what then? You have to be able to say you've got something special there. You haven't said anything, but you've got something special. But you can't be a dead end there. And you say, okay, it is what it is. That is when you are able to then share, because the relationship has been fostered there, and now this person sees there's something in your life that he wants. And that is where this equipping comes in. Now you'll be able to share. Certainly, one of the things that is difficult for us, fear of failure, fear of rejection. It is tough, You find, especially when we go out on the job training, you would have people that would be very welcoming, and then would people that would be, "No, I don't want to hear anything about that." And that is the little tougher part of this process, where you get to get that feeling of something is not so comfortable here. But that is important to know, that they're not rejecting you, and you're not failing. They're rejecting Jesus. They're rejecting him. They're not rejecting you. Other thing that is very important, and we find, busy. We all have time constraints, and I know everybody is busy, and even looking at our next clinic, next training, how are we going to fit it into people's busy lives? And it is challenging, but I think what's important is that we know what is the most important thing in your life, and you have to spend time or make time for that. Sometimes I know that you can get away cutting time away from church or from your spiritual life, because there's no direct impact there that you can see. You know, if you come late for work, or you don't get to an appointment that's important for your business, it's a direct impact. But the long-term impact is the one that makes the difference. The other thing is, because our videos are a little bit not so good, but this was a guy trying to dunk. So, because people are not properly equipped. So, it is important. The gospel sometimes, and I think I've been in church from childhood, and sometimes it is just so much that's in the church. And it's difficult to say, you know, what do I really believe? There's so much to say. I'm going to say the wrong things. I'm not going to get the basis or the core of the message through. And that is what this does. You can, and the gospel is presented with a hand. There's only 5 points that you will learn, and that 5 points is the gospel. And in the last video, you'll see even a two-year-old can do that. You just have those 5 points that you have to learn, and that 5 points is the gospel. So, the challenge is, are you willing to become a disciple maker? And that's what I'm extending to you guys, every one of you. We are going to run a next training session. We will keep it open first for our church, and then if we don't have enough people, we will invite people from the rest of Westlock, because we don't see it as just a local church ministry. We see it as a bigger ministry. So, but we would like to have our church have the first go at it. Okay? So this is the video of this two-year-old, and that is very interesting.
Grace, happiness or freedom, not to earn or deserve. Mom is a sinner, not saying himself. God is merciful. He wants to punish us, but God is also just. Punish our sins. Christ, Jesus Christ is both God and man. He died on the cross, was from the dead, to pay for the penalty of our sins, and for his own life forever and for us. Faith is not perhaps not like our simple of faith. But true seven faith is trusting in Jesus Christ alone for the sin. Wow.
Very good.
So you can see, she has presented the gospel. It's a little bit difficult to listen to that, but that is the 5 big points. And if she can do it, anyone can do that. So it's just a question of, this is what we're aiming for. So it's going to be from the January the 19th till March the 8th. The previous session or training was on Saturday, because the pastor from Edmonton could only come here on Saturdays. And we were thinking what would be a better time that would fit into people's schedules. We know that the weeks are very full, and we know the weekends can be full. But we thought that Sundays might be a good time to do that, because you should be in the kind of a mode of, I can spend this day doing the Lord's work. So it will be from 1 o'clock till 3:30. Usually we will talk with the elders and the deacons if they can provide us with some funds so that we can provide a light lunch. And there is space for 10 to 14 trainees. It depends on our previous group, if they can continue with it. We know they have some difficulties, so we will see how many of them will be able to continue as trainers. There is a sign-up form at the back, so we'd like you to really consider this prayerfully. You know, I think it's not something that you do because it's an 8-week program. It's a commitment that you have to make, and it's important that you make that commitment before the Lord. So I think that's the last slide. So I just want to give the certificates, the completion certificates of the previous training clinic to the people that's around here, and then a few of them will just say how they experienced this training. So you guys can come up.
I know Graham would like to cut me off, but anyhow. So everybody knows I like to talk a lot, and I grew up in a country where it was very easy to witness because everybody that around me knew about Jesus. So when I came here to Canada, I was quite shocked when the name Jesus came up, and there was people that said, who is that or what is that? So, but in South Africa, I did the children's course of this. And you know what? I know there's lots of you that want to say no. It's not like that. Life is the same. The gospel is the same. The Bible is the same. Yes, the Bible is the same. God is the same. But we need to change our approach to get the gospel out. When I first did this, it was, I'm going to tell you. Can I tell you and get excited about telling you about my church? No. Nobody want to know about church because who is church? It's that white gravestones that sit there that's so perfect and holy, and we don't say yay or a or whatever you want to say that words are. But we have changed. We cannot talk to people about church. And church is not the most important thing. It's God that's the most important thing. So we want to share about God. So with this course, like I said, 15, well, how long have we been here in Canada? 15 years. So 15 years ago, I did the course. So I did this now again. And my husband did not bully me into it. I really wanted to freshen up about this. And so it's to share the gospel in a way that is not telling them that, oh, I'm holy. I know the Bible. It's nothing to do about that. You tell them about these 5 points, and it's very much the gospel. You cannot try, because I know we like to say, oh, we'd like to tell our own stories. We like to tell, oh, but this is about me or this. And life is about me. If you look around, it's all about me. But this is totally, you cannot get sidetracked because the one follows the other one. And it's a very simple way. And then there is the illustrations with it. It's so much on a basic level that the people cannot argue with you about that illustration. So that's the only thing I want to say that it meant to me, that I don't have to say my own words. It's not about me. It's about God. And it's a very, very easy thing. I must say, if you saw that, you looked at that 2-year-old, you need to be challenged.
Good morning.
You want to have a word?
Go ahead.
EE has been a wonderful opportunity. Oh, sorry. It's been a wonderful opportunity for the last however many months since we started this fall. It has been a tremendously personal time. And it was funny when Dr. Ladigan was reading John 15. They're talking about pruning. I started to laugh because I have experienced extreme pruning in the last several months since we started this program. And I think it's because so many different areas of your life, they change the way you look at them when you start the program, because you start to see them through a different set of eyes. You're no longer looking at them just from the guy that sits in the pew. But when you start to approach life, to actively engage with Christ and sharing the gospel, it totally changes everything. And I think the other thing that we really need to be aware is that when you start to move forward to bring the gospel, well, then all of a sudden you put up a red flag, because the enemy tremendously hates you because you've decided to share the gospel. And it is such a beautiful message. It's a wonderful thing to tell people. And EE provides you five things that a two-year-old can do, but in a way that it's simple, and like Dr. Ladigan says, it's not offensive, and it just one follows after the other, and just share. And it starts out with one simple question. He says, "Are you satisfied with your life?" And you go from there, and then so you it gives you an opportunity to relate right from the very beginning, whoever you're talking to, where they're at. And then it just goes on from there and on from there. It's not easy, mostly because you have to pay attention. And the one thing that I learned when I did my final exam, I did everything right, except, you know, I forgot to bring the word into it. And that was really eye-opening for me. I was so intent on getting everything right, because doing everything right in the church is so important. So I did everything right, but I forgot the most important thing, in that I forgot to bring the word in, because we are saved through the word of God, not through my words, and not through the words that I bring with the schedule from EE, but through the word of the gospel, from the Bible that God provides for us. So it's a wonderful challenge. I really encourage you. You grow tremendously, and it's a great thing, and I'm looking forward to the next round. And I'm hoping that perhaps there will be a little less pruning, because I really had enough. But but no, it's really is a beautiful thing. Here, trade places.
Good morning. I personally really appreciate Evangelism Fellowship, because I'm not a formula person. I run by the seat of my pants. But, you know, I do need something to rein me in sometimes and get me on track, and more importantly, to keep me on track. And when you think about it, in the book of Revelation, the church at Ephesus, the Lord said, "I've got this one thing against you. You've lost your first love." And, you know, I don't care who we are as Christians, there's times in our life that we're dry. There's times in our life we need other people. And there's times in our life when we need Dr. Lanigan to come along and say, "Get on board, do something." It's an important part of the Christian life. If what you learn is not passed on, you haven't learned it. And the other thing that's very important about this is, shepherds don't make sheep. Sheep make sheep. Enjoy the course.
Good. One of the reasons I came to the course was I wanted some tools. I've been a Christian for a while, long while. We won't say how long. But I wanted some tools, and that was one of my main reasons that I came. And it was interesting how just a few of the examples and a few of those questions that you can open up the conversation with leads to. And I'll give you an example. One of the things was, one of the questions we could ask was, "Why do you think that God should let you into heaven?" And I asked that to a fellow just within the last 10 days, and he came back a couple days later and he said to me, "Why did you ask me that question?" And so we got talking and stuff, and he said, "I always believed that Saint Michael was going to intercede for me." And I'm going, oh my, where do we start here? But it opens up the conversation so they know that you're going to talk some serious, serious things. And at this time, I think it would be amiss for us also to say a big thank you to Mrs. L for her yummy meals. We were fed every time we came, and that spurred us on. But it's just people that you run into, and lots of times you're not making appointments, but you people that you cross your path.
I was one of the first ones that wanted to join this course because I thought it was important. Evangelism, we all need to do, no matter where we are or what we're doing within our own lives. That course actually retouched me to do more evangelism. Even in the hospital, in which I've spent a couple weeks the last while, I have been evangelizing to my roommates or even to some of the nurses. And they were quite surprised. But, you know, it comes from our heart. Christ put it in our hearts to evangelize. A lot of us say, oh, yeah, we do by showing everybody we go to church. But as it was mentioned, church is just the building. It's the congregation inside that we have to evangelize to get more people to come into this building of a church so they can hear what we know and what we've learned and hopefully help them gain a lot more confidence within themselves. I know it has for me.
Ancient old rascal, I guess. Anyways, I enjoyed this course because as I assess Canada, what motivates us as Canadians? Our educational system, high school, colleges, universities, our children are being taught to be passive. Just don't get involved. It's not important. That person wants to think that way, that's okay. And they're lost. And we have been asked, been saved by the Lord, to be his witness, to take that message. Now, I've had the joy of spending over 15 years in Africa, and I saw many people come to know the Lord. Even from my efforts at preaching, I remember one time 12 stood up, and I was halfway through my message, and said, Buana, we can't wait to the end of the service. We're accepting the Lord right now. And then it became where I'd visit a church, well, they'd say to the pastor, when Giver comes, I'll believe. So I never made another invitation. I always handed it over to an elder because I didn't want them believing to me. But that's a different world. We're back here in Canada where we are passive. And how do you get beyond that passiveness? Well, this course helps you in the simplest way to use questions and God's precious word. You don't always quote the chapter or the verse or the book, but just God says this, which isn't offensive. And you have a chance to really pass that message on. It's done in a beautiful way. And I know I'm very, very forgetful. You please help me in my forgetfulness. Pray for me in this.